resurrected hope, something we can have every moment of every day, something that we need on a regular basis. And as we celebrate Easter, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we have to be reminded that Jesus rose from the tomb on the third day, listen, just as he said. He's a God of his word. And when we look to the scriptures, we just don't look to, you know, recordings of history. We look to the very word of God and the very promises of God that are written to us. And guys, we can read the end of the story. We can realize that there is victory for the believer, that we are going to be in the presence of God for all eternity. So though Jesus told the disciples that he would rise on the third day, they didn't get it. They didn't comprehend it. And I don't think any of us would have either. Seeing Jesus incarnate, seeing the miracles that he had done, seeing the ways that he worked, seeing the ways that he taught, when he would speak of his death, we'd be like, no, Lord, we don't want to hear about the death. And even as yesterday was so gloomy and rainy and miserable, I know for the disciples, that was probably the hardest day of their lives. To wake up and go, oh, Jesus isn't here. Jesus died. They witnessed his crucifixion. And what hope was lost in that Saturday, but what hope was restored in that Sunday morning. When, thank God, the women go to the tomb to anoint the body of Christ, which is still mind-boggling when you think, how are they going to remove the stone? How are they going to do that? You know, they didn't understand it, but thank God they went, because that's when they've discovered what? The tomb was empty. They had to be told that Jesus is not here. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here, just like he said. And guys, he has said things to every single one of our hearts that we have to hold on to those truths and those promises in the scriptures, that there is a day coming when all of this is going to go away. And we're going to be just basking in his glory, worshiping him all the time for eternity. And what an amazing opportunity that's going to be. No, the resurrected hope is available to every one of us every day and even this morning. I want to read this scripture in Philippians 3:10. It says, this is Paul writing to the church of Philippi, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Do you know Jesus Christ? Not know about. Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know him as a one person of the Godhead, a true relationship with him? And Paul says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. To know Christ is to know victory. To know Christ is to know that when he says something, it happens. Jesus was there in the beginning when creation was created. Through Jesus Christ, the earth was formed. Through Jesus Christ, all creation was created. His words are powerful. And Paul says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. See, when you have a tough time next week, because it is coming, you have to know him, and you need to know the power of his resurrection. That's what carries us through this time on earth. The hope that we have of eternity with God is the hope of the resurrection. Listen, Jesus died for the sins of the world so that we would die to our sin. See, sin no longer has a grasp over you or I. Yes, we're going to be sin. Yes, we're going to sin. Yes, we're going to fall short. Yes, we're going to make mistakes. But no longer does sin have victory over us. We have been delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So sin and death has no more hold on us. And if you're burdened and if you're overwhelmed with the sin in your life, give it to Jesus. That's the beautiful thing. Give it to him. Repent. Say, Lord, I don't want that in my life. I want to walk with you. And he will take that from you. Maybe you need resurrection hope in your life today. See, today is the third day following Jesus' death on the cross, paying the price for our sins, when Jesus said, it is finished. And whenever you pick up your sin, you're telling Jesus that it isn't finished. But no, you can set that sin upon his shoulders because he paid for that sin. He took it for you and for me. 3 days seem like nothing to us, right? This was a three-day weekend, and already you're going back to work tomorrow. Sorry to remind you of that. But 3 days flies by, doesn't it? But for the disciples, it was probably the longest 3 days of their life. All hope was lost. Their Savior had died. But praise be to God, we're on the other side of this, and we see the Lord telling them that that's exactly how it was going to happen, and it happened just like that. I say it every Easter. The disciples should have been lined up outside that tomb. He's coming back. When's he coming back? Anticipating it, expecting it. But no, what were they doing? They were moping. Peter was fishing, you know, just occupying. Trying to do, because his heart was broken. 3 days were those longest days. His disciples should have been there. As we look at the account here in the book of Luke, we're going to see a group of women going to the tomb early in the morning. But they didn't go to find an empty tomb. They still were going to anoint a dead Jesus. But to their surprise and to their thrill, they found the tomb empty. Look with me, if you will, verse 1, chapter 24. Now on the first day of the week, early, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. We know those to be angels. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Praise God. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. Guys, resurrection hope starts with the fact that we remember the words of Christ. We remember the words written in our Bibles. We remember the promises that God has given to us. If you want hope, it's not going to be in government. It's not going to be in your job. It's not going to be in your family. It's not going to be in the country you live in, though we've been blessed in many ways. You're not going to find it there. You're going to find resurrection hope in the fact that you are holding on to the word of God. And I know there are brothers and sisters in this room that are holding on to a certain scripture that God has spoken to them, and they're not letting go of that scripture until it comes to pass. Those life verses, right? Those verses that help us walk in this life, holding on to the word of God. These women, when they came to the empty tomb, they were perplexed. Where's the body? What had happened? I'm sure through their minds, the same thing. Oh, somebody came and stole his body. What happened? The guards, they must have done it. They were confused. But God, in his infinite wisdom, has a couple angels there ready to let them know what's going on. And in a moment, in a blink of an eye, their discouragement turned to thrill. Can you imagine what must have gone through their minds? They probably couldn't even comprehend it, though they just were told, "Remember, he said he would do this." You got to know that these disciples prayed hard and long. God, why did Jesus have to die? Why did you let the Romans do this to him? Why would you? It was all part of his plan. And sometimes in life, guys, it's part of his plan. You know, we learned at the missions day that God's not going to keep you from something difficult in your life if it's going to produce fruit in your life. He's not going to remove a difficulty until you've learned the lesson. And for these girls and these women, as they came to do a very good thing, to anoint the body of Jesus, because by then, things were probably getting a little bit stinky. They were going to do a good thing. But boy, they didn't have to. They come there and they find the tomb empty. They remembered his word. Hope was restored. We have an opportunity as believers in the word of God to remind each other what God's doing, to remind each other of the hope that we have in Christ. When one of us in the body of Christ or in our world or in our circle of influence, when someone's down, guess what? We have an opportunity to encourage them with the word of God. I'm thankful for the people that were along my side when I was going through a tough time, reminding me of God's word, reminding me of the scriptures so that I could hold on to those truths. Those are the things that will carry us through. And for these girls, The angels remind, remember, this is what he said. And immediately when they said that, okay, now we remember that he did say that. Don't you love when the Spirit of God does that to you? Brings a scripture to mind. You're getting all kind of upset and discouraged, whatever's going on in your life. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, don't forget what God said. Don't forget this scripture. Don't forget, I'm always with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm walking every step with you. Again, this morning, being reminded that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's those little reminders that encourage us in life. And so if it encourages us, let's be those people that encourage one another. We must understand the word of God. See, the empty tomb wasn't enough for the women. Even the presence of angels wasn't enough for the women. And even the things that the angels said wasn't enough for the women to grasp what was going on. It was only when they remembered that Jesus said that, that they're like, wait a minute. And everything changed. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, everything changes, doesn't it? You see things differently. You listen to things differently. You understand things differently. And that's the power of the Word of God. You have to know the Word in order to be encouraged, in order to be hopeful. You can know that Jesus rose from the dead, but unless you know His Word, it won't make sense. Unless you know it. A few things. Unless you know his word, you don't know that the resurrection means that the payment Jesus offered on the cross was complete. That he said, it is finished. Unless you know his word, you don't know that the cross was the payment and the empty tomb was the receipt. Had Jesus not risen from the dead, there'd be no power. He didn't overcome sin and death. But because of the empty tomb, we have that hope. And the Word of God tells us this. And unless you know the Word of God, you don't know that death has no hold on redeemed men. See, the world still affects you if you don't understand the truth of God's Word. And unless you know His Word, you don't know that when God's love and man's hate battled at the cross, that God's love won, didn't it? Victory. The enemy thought he had won. But God, 3 days later, showed the enemy, you did not win. You lost. And lastly, unless you know his word, you don't know that because Jesus was raised from the dead, you can be resurrected in him. It's because Jesus rose that we believe we'll rise, right? That's why. That's why. Because Jesus did and because he said we are his. And if we believe in him, our sins will be forgiven. And this, though this mortal body may fail, we have a new body coming. The Word of God tells us this. So don't let the world tell you the lies, that the scriptures aren't true. No, we believe them. We embrace them because it's God's Word and God's Word is truth. There's a world out there seeking truth. We hold the truth in our hands. The book that we hold, that's the truth. Not our theology, not our craftiness, not our cleverness, the Word of God and the power of it. That's what changed these women's lives. That's what changed their understanding. John 10:10 says, I have come that you may have life, and that life more abundantly. See, the abundant life isn't a life full of stuff, is it? The abundant life is a life filled with the joy of God in our hearts, with the fact that all of this stuff that we have can go away and God still remains. That's the richness. That's the abundant life that we must have. And that's the abundant life that we can all have if we accept Christ. Verse 9, then they returned from the tomb and told these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales. And they did not believe them. Typical men, right? What do women know? Just kidding. But look at verse 12. But Peter, of all people, Mark draws attention to Peter. Probably the one of all the disciples that was the most discouraged after denying his Savior. Right? not only was his Savior, the last thing Peter did was deny the Lord three times, just like he had told him. And when the women tell the men, they don't understand. They think this is nonsense. But Peter, there was something in Peter. Wait a minute. Is there a glimmer of hope here? Is there a property? So again, verse 3, but Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now, I think it's John's gospel that tells us that John and Peter went to the tomb. And when John looked in, he immediately believed, the Bible says. And when Peter looked in, he marveled. See, it's all starting to click for the disciples. They didn't understand what the women were saying at first, but then, wait a minute, there may be hope here. And all of a sudden, this changes. The story begins to change, and now even the men are beginning to believe. Like I said, the joy that must have been starting to rise in their hearts after so much pain for the last couple of days. That's the power of the gospel, is it not? To bring our discouragement, our depression, our anxiety, and transform it into joy and peace and the goodness of God. Oh, so good. The price. When Jesus said in John 19:30, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head. He gave up his spirit. That word, "it is finished," is really one word in the original Greek. It's tetelestai, and it means paid in full. It means canceled. It means your debt was erased. It was what the merchants would do if you stamped something that you owed them. Paid in full, canceled. And Jesus cancels death. He cancels our sin upon the cross. It is finished, guys. Embrace that truth. And to know that it is paid in full, that God has done the work, it is finished. Listen, you want to live for the Lord, you want to do what God tells you, that's fine. But there isn't one thing you can do to save yourself anymore, and there's not one thing you can't do to lose your salvation. As long as you love the Lord, as long as you're walking with him, as long as you're trying, God knows our frame, God knows our limitations. God knows we make mistakes. That's why he sent Jesus for us. Praise God. Jesus basically said, "I paid the price in full for every sin you will ever commit." Isn't it reassuring to know that the sin you're going to commit tomorrow is already paid for? Still don't want to do it. Still shouldn't do it. But Jesus never asked us to be sinless. He just asked us to try to sin a lot less. And that's the job we have, to do our best. Focus our attention on him. Keep our eyes on his word and embrace that truth. Peter showed up. Peter marveled and Peter believed, and what joy that must have brought to his heart. His hope was definitely resurrected, wouldn't you agree? Amen. Verse 13, now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went to them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" He said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping." Now, they were sad and they were hoping. These are the conversations that they were having. "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened." You'd think a light bulb would have gone off when they said that. But no. "Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that he had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wouldn't you love to be in that Bible study? Whew, for sure. Let's go on. It says, then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem. Remember, the hour is late, 7-mile walk. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with him gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about these things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. So resurrection hope, to me, the second thing for these disciples is that their eyes were finally opened. Jesus constrained them for a time. He asked them a few questions. And so it's so important for us to listen to God when he asks us a question. Does God not know the answer? Of course he does. But he wants to hear it from you. He wants to hear from your perspective. He wants you to talk to him and have communion with him, conversation with him. But for these disciples who were discouraged on this walk, Jesus shows up, and you would think the Bible study alone would have been enough for them to finally realize that it was Jesus. But they just had this conversation. See, we've all been there, haven't we? We've all been in that place. As these disciples are walking, we know they're sad. We know they're hopeful that Jesus was going to be the answer. And so their conversation, I'm sure, was, can you believe it? Can you believe he died on that cross? I thought for sure he would have come off that cross. I thought for sure death wouldn't have been able to hold him. And so they're having this conversation, and they're discouraged. And we've all been to that place where we've been discouraged. We've all been in that place where we felt hopeless. We've all been in that place where we were anxious because we didn't understand what was going on around us. And those are the times that we must speak to God. Be honest with him. I've always said it. If you're going to tell anybody you're mad at them, tell God, because he's got big shoulders. He already knows anyway. It's okay to tell God, I don't like what's going on in my life. I don't like the way this is happening, because that gives God an opportunity to speak into your life and to say, well, this is what I need you to do. I need you to trust me in this season. Or I need you to do this in this season. Or I need you to just sit still in this season and watch me work. But talk to him and ask God, Lord, open my eyes to you. Open my eyes so I can see you in the midst of my difficulty. Because when we see God in the midst of it, then certainly hope is restored, is it not? To know God's there with you? Okay, Lord, I'll be here forever. Think of that situation in your life that was difficult for a season. And now look back and go, ah, God was there, right? You saw God in the midst of it. There was a time when I went through a season in my life. It was hard. It was difficult. It was overwhelming. But as I look back, I see God's hand on my life. And I'm like, Lord, thank you for being there with me. I didn't feel it at the time, but I know you were there with me. Thank you, Lord. So our eyes can become open to the things that God is doing. And boy, do we need that in the days that we're living. That God would open our eyes to the things that are happening in our world so that the church can rise up and make an impact in this world. That first song that we sang, Sunday's Coming by Phil Wickham, I don't know if you've heard it or not. I mean, I know you heard it this morning, but there's that one line, devil, you're done. You better start running. And that verse has been just ringing through my head and my heart for the last 2 weeks since I heard it and asked the worship team to play it. Devil, you're done. It's not he's going to be done. He's done. He's done. He's defeated. You better start running. And he should be running from you and I. You should be running from the Spirit-filled believers because we have such confidence in God that he can't mess with us. He might try. He might push you around. He might whisper in your ear, but you just deny that. You hold that thought captive and you say, enemy, I'm not believing that because I'm holding on to God's word. And I'm seeing God working in my life. And that's what we need to do, is we need to see God working in our community. We need to see God working in our world. We need to see God working in this country. There's a lot of tough decisions that need to be made in the world that we're living in. And we need God's wisdom. We don't need man's wisdom. We don't need our ideas. We don't need our thoughts. We need God's thoughts. God, what's the solution? Rapture would be a good solution. But God has a plan, guys. So don't lose hope. Ask God to open your eyes to what he's doing. Jesus longs for us to tell him what's going on in our hearts, even though he already knows. So tell him. Let God help us. Maybe there's someone at your workplace. Maybe there's someone in your home. Maybe there's someone in your neighborhood that you're having these conversations, and they're not easy conversations, but let's at least have the conversations. To be open to those things, to be spirit-led, not to get what we want, but to get what God wants, right? Get what God wants. And that's the story of these guys on the road to Emmaus. What a powerful story. You know, I think about it kind of showing our life as we walk through this thing called life, talking to each other, and God showing up. God help us if we don't listen to that voice. God help us if we don't listen to the voice of God as he's walking with us in this thing called life. Let's be open to what he says. Because once they understood, once they saw, and once that God revealed himself to them, boy, it changed the whole thing. Their discouragement immediately changed, just like for the women. For these guys, it was immediately changed. It's amazing. It's amazing. And God's word can have the same effect in our hearts, even when we don't know that it is Jesus doing the work. We can let him do the work. When my brother gave his life to the Lord back in 1995, it was at a Christmas Eve service. It was a Calvary Chapel service down in Florida. And I'll never forget it. He was sitting there and at the altar call. I mean, he was literally, you know how they say you're sitting on the edge of your seat? He was literally sitting on the edge of his seat. He was, in a sense, telling the pastor, could you be quiet so I could go forward? I mean, he was just, the pastor would say, can you give your life to Jesus Christ? He goes, yeah, I can do that. Can you be willing to give up all, you know, things in the world for whatever God's doing? Yes, I can do that. He just, yeah. And as soon as that pastor said, well, get up out of your seat, boom. I mean, and I almost had to run to stay behind him. He was so overjoyed at the message. When his eyes were finally opened to the truth of who God was, he couldn't wait to get saved. Boy, wouldn't that be amazing that we would live our lives in such a way that we're excited to get saved and we're excited to get used by God. Whew. It can happen. The power of the cross and the power of the empty tomb is still at work today, changing and transforming people's lives. Don't write people off. They're just an opportunity for God to save somebody and do an amazing work. Don't give up. Keep your eyes open to those opportunities. Lastly and finally, verse 36. Now, as they had said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. Anybody in here need peace? Yeah, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food? That's encouraging. I'm hungry. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And here it is. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Boy, do we need that. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from upon high. The third and last thing is that not only do we need to receive his peace, but we need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, right? He says, you're going to receive power when the promise of the Father is given to you. This is the promise of the Holy Spirit. This is the giving of the Spirit into the hearts of men. And the reliance that we have to have upon the Spirit. Again, the scriptures, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Do you have the Spirit in you? If he's in you, then you have the power. And it's greater than the spirit in the world, the enemy. So we have that ability. And Jesus tells them, listen, I'm giving you peace because I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. You're no longer going to have to be alone. You're no longer going to have to walk in this thing by yourself. I'm going to be gone. But the Holy Spirit's going to be with you. Guys, that's the peace that we have. That's the hope that we have, that if the Spirit's in there, that we can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit can speak to us, and the Spirit can convict us of sin, and the Spirit can guide us and direct us and reveal things that are going on in the world and in people's lives so that we can minister to one another. That's the hope. So we need the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11 says this, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's hope, right? Spirit's in you, we will rise. And we can rise today. We can rise right now in the power and the strength of God. And the hope that we have that heaven is real. You believe it? Heaven is real. And for those of us in this room that have lost loved ones, we have hope that we will see them again. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. My brother passed away in 2009. My mom a little over two years after him. And when I think about him, certainly I miss him. But man, I wouldn't want to take him from there to come back here, not for one second. I just want to go there and be with them. That's the hope that we have, that there's going to be reuniting. And to be able to see them and understand them. Romans 8:11, if the Spirit of him dwells in you, if he dwells in you, then you got to trust in him. The Spirit's in you, you trust in him that he's going to get you there and reunite you with your loved ones. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? If you have, you've been given the greatest gift in all the world. God gave himself upon the cross, but he gave himself in the presence of the Spirit into your life. He's given you that Spirit. So rejoice, be glad. Yes, we can look around and see the things that are going on in the world and be discouraged and sad. But the hope is that God's in the midst of it. We're here. As long as we're still here, there's an opportunity for things to change. If we speak up, if we take a stand for what, again, what God wants, not what we want. He opened, in verse 45, he opened their understanding. Boy, do we need opening in our understanding. Verse 49, I send the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. Look at verse 50, and this is really where we close. And he led, I know. Oh, plenty of time. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. I got to tell you, it's the first time I've seen it. What a change in the disciples when Jesus left this time. 3 days earlier, when he died on a cross, they were so discouraged and sad. He just left again after 40 days of being around. This time, they're not sad. This time they're worshiping, they're praising, they're blessing God. They're full of great joy. Jesus left again. It's different this time though. Now they understand. Now they understand what Jesus was saying. Now they understand what Jesus is doing. And when we fully understand what God is going to do, we can trust in him for what he's doing today. Guys, that's the transformation that the resurrection of Jesus Christ has. That we could be sad about one thing, but when we focus on the resurrection and the hope of heaven, that changes everything. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Christ, 31 years ago, I did the math in my head while I was teaching. 31 years ago, I gave my life to the Lord on Easter. So I'm 31 years in the Lord today. Happy birthday to me. Thank you. It was the best decision I ever made in my entire life. I was blessed to get married to my wife. I was blessed to the life I was given. But that day was the greatest blessing. It changed everything in my life. It changed everything in my life. It made everything different. I looked at life different. I experienced life differently. And man, it made life have meaning. Before Christ came into my life, there was no meaning. I just thought, you know what? Do your best here. That's all you got. But once I gave my life to Christ, it changed my entire life. My wife and I can look back on 34 years of marriage and be thankful that God showed up in our marriage when he did. He saved us, and he can save you. So on Easter of 2023, might be the year that you say, you know what? I'm tired of walking my life by myself. I want to accept Christ. And if you want to do that, I'm going to lead in a prayer as we close in this service. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if you pray this prayer in your heart, God hears it. And he knows your heart. And if you pray it and you mean it, he's going to save you. And you become a Christian and you begin to follow him and you'll have the hope of heaven as well. So let's pray right now. Father God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you, God, that in Jerusalem there is a tomb that is empty that we can walk into and see that you're not there. Because the word of God tells us you dwell in our hearts and you're seated at the right hand of God. We know where you are. And God, I pray for those in this room who have not given their lives to you, that today is the day they decide to accept you as Lord and Savior. I pray that they would in their hearts pray these words, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of walking in my ways. I've decided today to surrender my life to Jesus. And I want you to come into my life. I want you to begin to change me from the inside out. That I would see differently. That I would hear differently. That I would make Jesus my Savior and that I would not be ashamed to let others know that I am a Christian. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Now walk with me all the days of my life. And if you prayed that prayer, you are now a child of God and we welcome you into the family. God, we are so grateful for a day like this where we can gather together and remember what you've done. And just great hope fills our hearts. So bless each and every life. Bless our day. Bless all that we're going to do for your glory and for your honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.